We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, December 9th. I have traveled to Vegas and back. I have a stuffed nose. I have a sore throat. Above all else, I was even running a fever at the end of the day yesterday, but we are here because there's so much to talk about. I'm Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2015.
And I'm Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class 2015 and
14. I absolutely said my wrong class year.
You are sick. I got some snots too, so I'll be sniffing throughout this, but it's that time of the year. It's the Texas weather. You know, it was 60 degrees yesterday afternoon, and then, you know, it was on Sunday when I put the lights up on the roof. Like in the morning it was gorgeous, like 63, 64 degrees, sunny, slight breeze. Go inside for a couple hours, go outside, and I'm like, what happened? And I will tell you that wind whips just a touch more when you're up on a roof.
No question.
But the outdoor decorations are up, so we're all, like, I even wrapped some gifts yesterday. Like, we are banging on all cylinders. I've probably got about $800 worth of stuff somewhere in the USPS and UPS and FedEx stratosphere.
Yeah.
So, and we won't get into the BCS mail system. But, excited. Obviously, playoff, you know, we don't have a game to talk about specifically to us coming off last week. We are in the middle of downtime, basically a month off to get healthy. You know, all the dings and nicks that occur throughout a season, they've got a lot of time to not only prepare for Miami, but just to get healthy, which I think is super important. Marty Smith was talking about this yesterday. If you watch that SEC championship game, not only the game, but I mean, you just looked at the injury reports heading into it. I mean, that was a physical game. And as much as I really, really wanted to be in Atlanta and play for the SEC championship, the glasses half full kind of thing tells me that that's one more week for us to get healthy.
Yeah, and that was something that was being mentioned. I mean, even Kirby Smart, he made a good point saying, you know, you're looking at what is a ninth conference game right now between Alabama and Georgia. And I mean, it's physical. It's rough. I understand, like, the argument right now to be like, hey, do we really want to add an extra one of these games? Just because it is such a physical league. It is a leaps and bounds compared to a lot of other leagues. I like, there was a good talking point that came across on a podcast I was listening to, and it talks about just the SEC as a whole, where it's like, you look at the Big Ten, and everybody likes to talk about, you know, the powers of the Big Ten, which at this stage in the modern day, you know, Ohio State, Indiana, because Kirk Cignetti is just an absolute insane person and can walk into a program at the age of 60 plus and just make it a playoff program within 2 years.
And not with like a massive NIL budget by any means.
No, I mean, all he has done is made every other AD's job even harder. Because someone's gonna say, well, we need time to build, and it's like, what? Really? Look at Indiana.
Yeah, they're a basketball school.
Yeah, they're a basketball school, and they are number one in football right now. And it took 2 years. Like, you know, that's, you know, like, it's gonna kill the excuse argument. But the thing is, across the rest of the Big Ten, like, there's really not any like massively like overblown programs, I think. I mean, like, there's not talent-rich programs. You know, you have Ohio State, you have Indiana, you have Michigan, you have Penn State. Really, outside of those, like, not every other team in there is really firing in, like, top-level talent to the next level. Whereas you look at, like, the SEC, I mean, you have dudes that are playing for Kentucky. You got dudes playing at Arkansas. You got dudes playing at South Carolina. And mind you, I just listed off three teams that aren't even like really like competing for bowls or anything really. It's incredible to see just that level of just talent across this league. And that makes like the middle pack of the SEC way tougher than like a middle pack of the Big Ten, I think.
Well, and going back to the Cignetti thing and just talking about Indiana football, So before Kurt Cignetti, their head coach was Tom Allen. He was there for 7 years. These are their records going back, and we'll start with most recently. So I'll go from 23 all the way back to 17.
Okay.
So they were 3-9, their final year in top out, Tom Allen, 4-8, 2-10. So those were the last 3 years at Indiana of Tom Allen's time there before Kurt Cignetti shows up, and he just kind of casually goes 11-2 and 13-0.
Yeah, I mean, he has two losses in 2 years.
Yeah, he did. You nailed it on the head. He did not make any AD's job any easier.
Absolutely not. I mean, because he's exactly, this isn't like some young firecracker coach. I mean, this dude's 60 plus. Like, he just walks in from James Madison and turned Indiana into a powerhouse in 2 years.
Well, then maybe James Madison has become the pipeline for coaching. Maybe that's what
Kind
it is.
of like U of H was to us for a minute.
Yeah, right.
Well, and Texas with Tom Herman too.
Yeah, they were just like a they were a casual stop on a coaching career.
And I do apologize to anybody listening today. I am a hair under the weather, but we are powering through it today. I have been on my meds. Cough drops are going a long way today. We're doing the honey flavor because why not? It always tastes
Well,
good.
so this is a big week. It's Army Navy week.
It is.
So this is the culmination of the season. Army is bowl eligible. So, like I said, I got to go out to San Antonio and watch them play. A ton of fun, great game. Navy's really good. I'm not expecting a whole lot out of this game, unfortunately. But when the two service academies play, you just never know. We've lost to inferior Navy teams and we've beaten superior Navy teams. So I'm gearing up for the Army Navy game. Mucho excited for that. But let's talk. I guess we can get into the bracket first, and then we can talk about, well, let's go through the conference championship games right quick. Since we
Yeah,
only have
let's
one,
do that.
since we only have one prediction, we'll front load this actually instead of at the end.
Might as well.
So last week, starting off, was the American with UNT and Tulane. North Texas 2.5 point favorites. We both took North Texas, and Tulane made a statement.
Yeah, give John Summerall and his boys a ton of credit. I mean, they got punched in the mouth a couple times this season, once to a team that they're about to replay, and I will absolutely get into my thoughts on all of that here in a little bit, but Tulane's a good, definitely great program that's been on the rise in the group of five. It's good to see the fact that they were able to take care of their business against North Texas. Would have been nice to have another Texas team in there, of course, but I'm always partial to the Green Wave for two reasons. One, I
Just
mean,
like their uniforms.
I love their uniforms. I love their logo, their mascot. It's fantastic. Plus, I mean, they're in New Orleans. That's a hotbed city. And to have a program there that is not just surviving but thriving is a really cool thing to see. And I'm really glad to see that they're in the playoff. And if I had to pick between them and James Madison, I prefer them in the playoff in this situation. But it's understandable. James Madison's 12-1 now.
Well, I mean, I think even more impressive with Tulane is just the fact that everything in that state revolves around LSU.
Yeah.
So, again, for them to be successful is amazing. It really is. I just had something come across real quick. It's breaking, I guess. A bunch of athletic directors are meeting in Vegas over the next few days for their annual conference, and apparently they may be considering a CBA.
A CBA. There you go.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very interesting. And also, if North Texas got in, that's just one more thing to rub in the SIP's face, but I digress. Go ahead.
I mean, yeah, just all props to Tulane in that game. That they did everything they needed to do. They've largely won that game in that second quarter, putting up 17 points and just kind of running away from them a little bit.
Yeah, then go to the Big 12, BYU and Tech. We both picked Tech on this one. We both picked North Texas in the first one and got it wrong.
Yeah.
So we both picked Tech in this one. I don't think Tech did exactly what we thought they were going to do, but they won convincingly. I thought they were just going to beat the brakes off of them, like a 60-10 kind of game. But BYU hung in there at least a little bit. But yeah, nothing surprising about the Big 12. Head over to the SEC Championship game. Had Georgia and Bama. Georgia was favored by 2.5. And we talked about it. It's just Bama has Georgia's number kind of thing. But we both went with Georgia. We're both right on that one. That was a hell of a game. And honestly, it kind of wasn't a game. I was really surprised with how pedestrian Ty Simpson looked.
Yeah, he that entire Alabama side of the ball wasn't really impressing me. I mean, they go negative 3 rushing yards in the game.
Yeah, it's well, and we've talked about it all year. Alabama hasn't been able to run the ball like they have in
No.
the years past, right? They don't have that bell cow like Derrick Henry or just that back you look at and go, okay, he's the next NFL back kind of guy. And they've struggled all year running the ball, and it absolutely showed against Georgia.
Yeah, and that's gonna be a big part of their struggle bus, I think, whenever it's going to come to the playoff, is just the fact they can't get the running game going.
Yeah, and that's not something you can just magically fix.
No, and it's been a
So,
problem all year. So,
let's see here. Indiana, Ohio State. We both got this one wrong.
yeah, and I mean, all props to Indiana. I mean, like we were talking about it earlier, but even, the thought process last season with Indiana was, oh, it's a cool story. Yeah, like this is one of the perennial, just downtrodden football programs in the FBS. They just always have been. And, they come up and they had a good season last year, but yeah, good story. But except they did it again, and they just didn't just do it again. They kicked the door down. I mean, you're going to
Yeah,
go to
we
the
talked
Big
about
Ten title game and you're going to take down Ohio State. And, I mean, you shut them out in the second half.
that. Yeah, they kind of put their foot down, quite frankly. It was, and I hadn't watched a lot of Indiana football, so it was interesting to see that. And going into that game, I had said I thought Ohio State was the best team in the country, but not like going away. Nobody's got a chance. Everybody's playing for second. But
Right.
that's what happens when, I guess, you don't watch enough Indiana football during the year. And we talked about it last week on the fan show, kind of joking about it. And like you said, the first year it's a Cinderella story and you're like, okay, whatever. But now that he comes back and repeats this, and it just looks like they're better, quite frankly, obviously, it looks like they're better. They won the Big Ten. This is like the Hoosier method now. Like, this is the Signetti process.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you sit there and look at it and think, I mean, Indiana's going to get a little bit different treatment than if we were to do the same thing next year, just
Right.
because we're a bigger name in the football world than Indiana is. So it's more of a Cinderella story when it comes from a basketball school, right?
Right.
But you've seen what he could do, and then you start trying to parallel it to A&M. You're like, man, if you can do it at a place like Indiana, because they believe and they do have the right coach.
Yeah.
And here at A&M, we believe and we do have the right coach.
Right.
It start you you can start to maybe hopefully draw those parallels when we're talking about football this time next year. So it's what he's done there has been nothing short of amazing, especially when those records that I rattled off,
Yeah.
Indiana before that. So it has been very impressive to watch, absolutely. And
Yeah.
then you go on the ACC game, man, that conference just laid a stinker. This is all there is to it.
Yeah, the doomsday scenario played out. And the funny thing was, I mean, even ahead of the game, I was listening to the commentators, and they were saying, keep an eye on Duke. I mean, yeah, they got absolutely stomped at home by this Virginia team, but that was largely due to turnovers and just little opportunities that Virginia was able to kind of use to pull away in that game. So keep an eye on what's going to happen in this Duke Virginia game today. I'm glad we did. Virginia, great barnstormer at the end of the game to send this thing to overtime. But yeah, Duke pulling it out and ending Virginia's hopes of making the playoff, and at the initial moment, potentially ending the ACC shot. But obviously, as the selection process came through on Sunday, that was not the case.
But then we get to the selection part.
Yes. So initial rankings coming out, top four. Really, no complaints across the board on that one.
No.
I think Indiana's absolutely number one, and I don't have an issue with them just flipping them in Ohio State. I think sending them to each side of the bracket is a smart deal.
Yeah, it's not like Ohio State got blown out of the water either.
No, it was a 3-point loss in a tightly contested game. They had a shot to tie it with the field goal, obviously didn't work. But Georgia pantsing Alabama. They get themselves up to the three, hold that three spot down. And Texas Tech earning that four spot, which I think, as a conference champ, especially in the situation they've been in, I don't have a problem with.
And they beat BYU twice.
Yeah,
Right? I
beat
think
BYU
Utah
twice.
is an above average BYU team. They're a good football team, just not good
They
enough to win
are.
the Big 12.
They are. And as you continue up down, down the line here, number five,
The five,
Oregon.
six, seven is where I start to have issues.
Yeah, 5, 6, and 7. So obviously A&M coming in at number 7, reflecting where we were at last week, which the explanation being that, well, you know, there's not gonna be much movement in the championship week for these three teams because they're not competing. And my thought being, and obviously we'll get into that, but if you go off of what the playoff committee has been stressing from the get-go, where it's been the head-to-head matchups being very important, your strength of schedule being very important, the whole concept of if you are missing key aspects to your team, such as a head coach or a top player or something like that, being a factor in where you get seated. In what world, across all of those metrics, does Ole Miss end up ahead of us outside of them just having a better loss against Georgia, really?
I mean, quite frankly, I mean, not just Ole Miss. Like, what's Oregon doing at five?
Exactly.
They're 11-1, and they played Montana State, Oklahoma State, Northwestern, Oregon State. They beat Penn State. At the time, we thought it was a good win, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
Lost to Indiana, beat Rutgers, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota. USC is a good win,
Sure.
and Washington. That's their schedule. Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah, there's really not much in the what the committee gave us logic-wise for us to be down. I could concede being at 6. There's no reason on earth we should be at 7 right now.
That's my biggest problem. Like, if we're not going to be five, fine, whatever. But they literally went against precisely what they put out. They said their metrics would be. And this is the same complaint that everybody's had since Sunday at about 12:45. And I get it. But for that, like, it's the Ole Miss situation is my biggest problem because, like, one of their metrics was coaching. Like, do they have the same personnel? Like, is their starting quarterback going to be playing in the playoffs? You know, that's what they used against Florida State a couple of years. But
Exactly.
same concept.
Same
But all of a
metric.
sudden, Lane Kiffin, you're basically saying that Lane Kiffin isn't a factor, which if he wasn't a factor, then why is LSU paying him $13 million?
And why are they paying him to continue to do what their deal is as far as the playoff? You know, giving him his incentives to be in the playoff. Like, I mean, while he's still, you know, while he's not even at Ole Miss, they're going to pay him for that. Like, that's insane to me. But excuse me.
Yeah. Watch out,
I
Tucker
just
talking
don't know.
about Louisiana.
Yeah, the logic there does not make a lot of sense to me. But regardless, you are hosting a first round playoff game, and that's awesome. So looking at those matchups, you know, you're gonna have number 8 Oklahoma playing number 9 Alabama. We will be playing number 10 Miami, and you get the reward of Ole Miss and Oregon playing Tulane and James Madison respectively, and both having lines that are in the double digits, and I mean on the back end of double digits
And
in those games.
that's where it matters, being six or seven, because instead of
Right.
getting Tulane, we get freaking Miami.
Right. Who is not a bad football team by any means.
No, they are not. Like Oregon, that schedule, they're rewarding Oregon with James Madison. That's
Right.
my problem. That's probably like my biggest problem. But I know that's how it shook out because they put Tulane in, they put James Madison in, and I get that. But like, it's just mind-blowing that Oregon really kind of did nothing this year. I mean, they basically did the same thing we did, but
Yeah.
we lost later.
And that's the
That's it.
key, right? You know,
That's
that's
it.
what we said about it as far as like the rankings. There's recency bias in rankings, especially when it comes to losses.
We never should
And
have dropped to seven.
well, and see, that's the other side of it, right? We've talked about like as far as these losses that have taken place in games, they have really leaned in on the concept of the later you lose and even like how much they weigh a loss. Like losses hurt way, way more for whatever reason in terms of what happens with dropping in rankings in the playoff. I don't necessarily agree with that, but you know, unfortunately we're at where we're at. And it feels like we got punished for not finishing 12-0. And it almost looked like they were looking for an excuse to drop us.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it feels like. I mean, a four spot drop because we lost on the road to a ranked Texas team. Four
Yeah.
spots? You sure about that?
Well, especially when Alabama doesn't even fall one after getting damn near skunked by Georgia.
They got stomped by Georgia. There's no way to describe that other than just a complete domination by Georgia over Alabama. That's all there is to it. And for Alabama to not move, and so this is where it goes into the like Notre Dame complaining and which has been a glorious meltdown. We've kind of gotten both ends of it. Like we had the Sips complaining all week leading up to it. Now we get Notre Dame complaining and taking their ball and going home, the week after. So from my standpoint, what's up?
All I'm gonna say about Notre Dame right now is this is payback for 2020. Enjoy the couch.
Yeah, no, you ain't lying.
That's been the one thing playing through my head, like, oh. And the best part is all the people online are now going back to that holding call that was missed in our game. Mind you, we've already discussed this. I mean, you could look at the laundry list of things that happened, like the kickoff return getting called back on a phantom holding call, or any other number of plays where they have scored on a score, but we were held, right? It's like, it's part of the game,
It
man.
is.
You're gonna
It,
win, you're gonna lose.
yeah. Well, very specific. I haven't liked Notre Dame since I was a kid. We used to play them in the Cotton Bowl frequently.
Right.
But one of my biggest problems is, first of all, like you're saying your entire season came down to one holding call. That's what you're saying, which
Right.
is in and of itself one of the most childish and pathetic arguments I have ever heard in my life.
Right.
And two, like, two, 2020, screw you.
Exactly.
That's it. That's it. Like, I don't care. Like, cry all you want to, man. We got absolutely hosed. And so, fine. You know what? Enjoy it. I hope you enjoy watching the playoffs from the couch. And I hope you enjoy looking like complete children opting out of a bowl game. And we need to get into that a little bit later.
Oh,
But
no
like,
question.
yeah, opting out of a bowl game. And the timing in which it occurred looks like absolute sour grapes, a child on the floor throwing an actual literal tantrum. And that's how you've now come across to the entire college football world.
Yeah, and the fact is, had A&M been playing a Notre Dame that got slid into the 10 spot, the entire nation would be backing Texas A&M in this football game because
Yeah.
they would be so sick and tired of what was going on with Notre Dame in this whole situation. And also, this was a little tidbit that got dropped, and I'm not sure if you saw this, but it was a newsy wrinkle. It said as part of the MOU signed last spring.
Saw that.
Yeah, Notre Dame is assured of a college football playoff berth if it's ranked in the top 12 starting next season. If this year's situation unfolds next year, the final at-large team, Miami, would have gotten bumped for number 11, Notre Dame. Timeout, quick thought process. Why on earth is Notre Dame getting this special level of treatment? Is it literally helmet bias in this situation? Because if you look at Notre Dame, historically, yes, great football program. Always been an independent, always kind of doing their own shtick. They've always kind of just been kind of orbiting around what everybody else is doing in college football, but getting the benefit of the doubt of being, well, that's Notre Dame. It's one of the great college football programs. Why do they get any kind of special treatment in this situation? Like guarantees for a playoff spot, despite the fact you're an independent. Like, what are we talking about here?
It's absolutely, dude, it's completely asinine. My thought is next year is probably going to go to 16 anyway, so it won't matter.
Exactly.
I think 16 is a sweet spot, so there's no buys and everybody gets a home game. I'm a huge fan of that. I mean, I mean, you'll have like Indiana getting James Madison, but it is what it is. But
Yeah.
Notre Dame and BYU would have gotten in, right? So,
Yeah.
that's two more teams that would have, added quality to the field. But yeah, they can just cram it because that MOU stuff is unbelievable. Like the fact that I don't remember where I saw it first, but it's basically the first dude that to report it, he just casually drops on social media this bomb about this MOU stuff. It's protecting one of the darlings of the sport, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, it's and it's not f like I understand there's gonna be a lot of people that are gonna have issues with James Madison and Tulane both being in this playoff, being like, well, per their metrics, we talked about it ahead of time. The top five ranked college, conference champs get in. That's the metrics you had. It's not our fault. The ACC was trash this year. That's not anybody's fault but the ACC's. They did that to themselves.
Well,
But
here's a thought for Notre Dame because all of their athletic programs are in the ACC minus football, right?
right.
First of all, just, and this is going to be a really crazy suggestion, join a conference But they always said, well, we don't have to, and blah, blah, this and that. And they have this agreement that they get so many teams against AC. If I'm the ACC, I'm telling Notre Dame to either join fully or stick it and take all of your programs home, all of them,
Yeah.
across the board. And I know that the ACC don't want to do that because Notre Dame makes money. But if you think about it, the football is where they're making the money. I mean, the ACC doesn't care that Notre Dame's volleyball team plays in the ACC. They don't care. They
Right.
care about the football brand and the helmet. But if I'm Notre Dame right now, or if I'm the ACC right now, seeing Notre Dame and seeing what they're doing, I would squash that agreement. Be like, you don't like it, go back independent with all of your programs. Nobody cares. Nobody cares at all. Because as a somewhat affiliated program with the ACC, they're making the conference look bad.
Well,
So if
and
I'm the ACC, I tell them either join fully or stick it.
What's interesting is apparently there's already talks going around, and one of the rumors is that they may take their conference affiliation away and go to the Big 12, which for me is humorous because now you're going to insert Notre Dame into a conversation where Tech has finally found themselves kind of at the top of the ant pile after the rest of the big programs ended up getting out of this conference. They're kind of the one that are sitting there on the top. You're going to throw Notre Dame in that mix potentially. And that to me is another fascinating wrinkle into the situation, which just goes back to the thing we've said time and time again. The amount of conference realignment and where everybody's at right now is absolutely insane.
Well, and the Big Ten blew it. When they decided to shake up the Big Ten, they absolutely blew it. There was no reason not to take Notre Dame. They're in Big Ten country. So my question is, did the Big Ten not want Notre Dame, or did Notre Dame not want the Big Ten? Because being affiliated with the ACC makes zero sense except for maybe their basketball program.
Maybe. And I mean, Big Ten wise, they've always fit more with the Big Ten in my thought process, from the style of football to frankly just what where they're located. I mean, your big rivals, I mean, within the state, both of which play in the Big Ten. It's a Midwest conference. You're a Midwest team. Be in the Midwest conference. It makes way more sense. But apparently there's TV issues and NBC's not wanting to budge and yada 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 and the whole shebang. And I just that deal right there.
The NBC and Notre Dame deal is it's what screws basically everything up. And but NBC will do anything to keep them. But my biggest thing is at some point somebody's gonna step in and be like, we'll pay the buyout. But then moving to the Big 12 makes no sense to me academically. It makes no sense to me athletically. I don't care about regionally because we've given that up outside of the Southeastern Conference.
It's long gone.
Well, the ACC is still regional.
Relatively. And then, and then there's SMU just hanging out in Dallas.
Oops. Well, you know what? A lot of SMU grads probably own property on the coast.
Wouldn't shock me. But but still, I mean, you talk about just the way the conferences have kind of lined out and everything, the way things have kind of gone. And this is going to lead into a question that we got here in a little bit. But just talking about, how do you fix all of this? And I don't know. I don't know if you got to just break everything down regionally at some point and just reset it. I don't know what has to take place. The problem is a lot of these conferences just have way too much power. If you look at like, especially the Big Ten and the SEC,
There's no
I mean,
fixing. There's no fixing it without blowing up more conferences.
right.
And that's what it comes down to, because no team is ever going to willingly leave the SEC. Period. End of discussion. Last one that did that was Tulane, right?
Yeah, I'm about to say, yeah, Tulane, Georgia Tech, and Sewanee are the only three that have ever left. And well, two of them are doing okay. Sewanee's just kind of wherever they're at. But the fact is, the SEC is one of the, if not the premier brand in college football. And frankly, across a lot of sports now, baseball's excellent. Softball is going to be, I mean, you just took two of the better programs that were outside of the SEC and you already brought them in with Oklahoma and Texas.
Last year, basketball was great.
Basketball's been excellent. Baseball's been solid for many, many, many years.
Softball, yeah. I mean,
I mean,
the only thing that the SEC hasn't consistently dominated in is in volleyball. And to be honest, this year they're a lot better.
yeah, but
There's
between
SEC,
A&M, Texas,
Kentucky.
Kentucky,
Yep.
there's some
We're already
Denver.
in the Sweet 16, so you're talking about that's 20% of the field.
Yeah, and that's one conference. I mean, the fact is, the SEC, just as an athletic conference, and frankly, as an academic conference, is growing. Because I mean, that's one of those things people talk about. Like, if you have got good athletics, you tend to draw people into your school, it doesn't matter. And
Absolutely.
it's going to be higher level people. That's, you know, it's kind of this reciprocal relationship. You know, you see your academic rank climb as your athletic rank climbs these days, because you know it's just it's a weird dichotomy, but it's what works for a lot of people.
Well, we've said it a million times. Football is the front porch to a university. I mean, it is. Whether you like it or not, it is. Because the overwhelming majority of people that go to school are aware of their college football program, right? At least when you talk about the top 25 type schools, you probably can go about top 40 out, honestly. It's not the reason they go, but it makes a brand cool. It makes a university cool, right? Like it's got a cool image when it wins titles and it competes for titles and it competes at a high level and there's buzz about it, you know, in the sports world. And there's plenty of people that go to college, I understand, that just couldn't give a flip about sports, but those people were going to go there anyways, right? It doesn't move the needle, but sports moves the needle, and especially college football. So it's I mean, it's true. You know, if you're doing better, I mean, we've seen applications rise, I think, by like 13% this year. It's not because we accidentally got a new laboratory, right?
Well, and the funny thing is, I mean, yeah, A&M has seen improvement on that front. I mean, just as, I mean, people have talked about just how incredible this place is in terms of not just facilities, but in terms of support and everything else. And you're going to see a lot of those type of programs are going to continue to elevate themselves. I mean, Texas Tech has crawled up within a couple of years and made themselves into a premier football program, at least in the eyes of many. And when you're playing in the Big 12, that has helped elevate you because the rest of your competition hasn't quite caught up yet.
Yeah, but I think for tech it's a little bit different because like you still have to be able to convince yourself you want to live in Lubbock, right? You know, the footprint of the SEC in and of itself is special. The fact that you continuously see these rankings coming out about A&M being ranked high academically, you know, great value, great degrees, you know, how much money graduates make on average, you know, all these metrics play into it, but there's a lot of schools that are like that, right? Everybody's striving to make their academics better, but the ones who are, like you said, academics and athletics are getting better. As athletics gets better, it enables, you know, the academic side, because more people want to come in. When you need more people, you need more professors, you need more resources, you do need more laboratories, you do need more shops. So it's they definitely play off each other. And that's where you'll see, I think, you know, how do we fix this? You're not going to, because nobody's going to leave the SEC, because that kind of exposure to universities is priceless. Nobody's going to leave the Big Ten. It's priceless. So you're going to have to blow up another conference. And that's step one, literally, is blowing up probably the Big 12 or probably the ACC,
ACC, honestly, yeah.
because it's the weakest of them all. And this talk about going to four super conferences, you're probably looking at three super conferences.
Maybe.
Looking at the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the SEC.
Yeah. Which is ironic if you consider what's happened to the poor Big 12. I mean, at one point, you had Colorado, Nebraska, A&M, Oklahoma, Texas. I mean, Big 12 was a great conference at one point. It really, really, really was. I mean, especially there in the late 2000s. I mean, the fact that you had three teams that were all actively competing for a national championship spot, one of which that ends up getting it. Yeah, it was a great conference. And it's weird to see how you advance the clock several years. I mean, imagine being a college football fan in 2007, 2008, especially 07, one of the craziest seasons ever. And you take those fans, you move them on into the modern day and show them what this conference realignment has done to college football. They're going to look at you like you're nuts. Like, why on earth is West Virginia playing in Lubbock, Texas? Why on earth is UCLA traveling to Rutgers for a football game?
Yeah, it's bonkers. I'm still a big fan of the things being regional, but there's no way to enforce that at this point. So I don't think there is a fix, quite frankly. I think we're at where we're at, and the next step will just be even crazier than what, you know, what's already taken place.
Well, and on top of that, when you have a situation now in college football where we have seen so many teams, and this is going to lead into it, right? So many teams now that are dropping their bowl opportunities. And yeah, we talk about Notre Dame, but they're not the only one.
No, there's 10. There's 10 right now. There are
10 teams.
10 schools that have opted out of a bowl game.
Yeah, you've had 10 separate opt-outs because at the end of the day, nowadays, people recognize that it's college football playoff or bust at this point for so many people. If you're not one of the top 12 at the end of the season actually competing for anything, everybody's just gearing up for next year. What's the point of the bowls?
See, and this is where they're going to run into problems. So there is a lot of money tied up in these bowl games,
Yep.
a lot of money, and that includes conference payouts. The teams don't just get cut checks; so do the conferences. So I don't know if it's going to start. And this is, hold on, I got a million thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Is there something where the SEC and the ACC and the Big Ten start imposing penalties on teams if they opt out of a bowl? But then who's gonna do that to Notre Dame, right? Who's
Right.
gonna give them a penalty for not going? So I think with at a conference level they can do it. But here's a crazy kind of proposal when it comes to this. If you opt out of a bowl game, you're ineligible to be in the playoffs the following year. That's it. And I've seen a lot of you should give a bowl ban for 3 or 5 years and you should, affect NIL and all this other stuff. No, 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 no. It's very simple. If you decide to opt out of a bowl game, opt out, right? Not ineligible, opt out of a bowl game, then you are ineligible to be in the playoffs next year. Now, what this does is it tells me, because if this rule's in place and you still opt out, that means you don't think you have a chance at the playoffs. And now all of a sudden you're sending a message on a couple of different levels to not only college football or your conference mates, but also your fans and
Your
your
recruits.
players.
Yep.
And your players and your recruits. Like, why
Right.
would I go there if they don't think they can make the playoffs next year? Especially if we expand to 16. If you expand to 16 and you don't make the field and you opt out of a bowl game, you're saying you can't be one of the top 16 teams, or maybe even just a conference champion in a lower conference like the American. That's literally what you're telling your players. It's what you're telling your recruits. It's what you're telling your fans. So that's my solution. It's just across the board, one simple rule. Nothing else gets affected. Nothing.
So this ties in with Garrett Smith's question, and I think we've answered it in part. But he said, he's basically said, will bowl games go away soon? If Rob and Roy were this college football commissioners, yeah, how would each of you restore an interest and incentive to play them? I completely agree with your thought process here. It comes down to penalty, right? You create incentive by punishment in this case, right? Crack the whip on some of these programs. Hey, you
Like
got to
Notre Dame.
go play your bowl game. Suck it up, get out there and play the game. You're not the running Irish, you're the fighting Irish, right? Get out there and fight for it.
Well, I don't, and I don't mind if players opt out of bowl games. I get it, right? Like, that's going to happen. But, like, you have second and third stringers. Give them the experience. Give them the bowl experience. They get swag bags. They get to go play somewhere. They get to go play as somebody they don't normally play, right?
Right.
Except for the App State thing, because they had to step in for somebody else. But enjoy the experience. Like I said, there's too much money tied up in bowl games, and the conference affiliations are a big part of it, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, if teams start opting out, do some of these bowl games go away because the sponsors are like, what is this crap? I had a Big 12 slot, and now nobody from the Big 12 is coming. So that's You're going to find it's going to be pressure. It's going to come, and it's money driven. It always is, right? The
Always.
sponsors of these bowls are going to press on the conferences, and the conferences are going to have to like put that pressure down on the teams within their conference. So if you're independent, I mean, nobody's going to pressure you. So that's where you have to go in and you have to talk about the NCAA or the college, whoever completely controls this bracket and eligibility for it. It has to be one simple rule. And this is what I would do if I were commissioner for a day. I would institute a rule that says if you opt out of a bowl game, you are ineligible to be in the playoff field the following year. 1 year ban, that's it. You can still go to another bowl game,
Right.
but you will not be eligible. No matter, I don't care if you go undefeated, you will not be in the college football playoffs. Because
Yeah.
there's something to be said for the integrity of the game and the sport. And I know this is some of it'll sound like an old man yelling at clouds to the people that think we could just can 25 bowls,
Yeah.
but I don't care if you want to can them or if you watch them all. Let's talk in the world of reality where it's all money driven, right? I don't care if you don't watch the Poulain Weed Eater Bowl, all right? Some people do. There's money involved and it goes to the conferences. It's that simple, all right? There's
Yeah.
too many advertising dollars tied in. There's too much money affiliation with the conferences for the schools. So I don't care if you don't watch any bowl games other than playoffs. I don't care. And I don't care if you watch all of them and compete in like 30 bowl pick 'em things. Let's all have a realistic conversation about the fact that it's all money driven. And if it's money driven, then you have to make a logical decision based on what you know will occur if they try and shit can some of these bulls, because there will be financial pressure and nothing talks like money in this sport.
Absolutely. It's going to come down to the money situation. And if I'm the Bulls, I have a legitimate gripe to want to try to push back on. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And they have every right to.
Yeah. So we'll see what ends up happening on that front. I mean, I honestly, personally, there's a couple things I wish would come to play as time goes. 'Cause people are looking at James Madison. They're looking at Tulane. Why are these teams up here in the playoff? Because especially if you look at what's going on, like as far as the lines, I mean, James Madison's a 21.5 point dog. Tulane's a 17.5 point dog. And on top of that, it's a rematch, which is another thing that the playoffs said they were going to try to avoid. And we already have two.
Yeah, two and two of the four.
Yeah, 2 of 4. And then not to mention, if Ole Miss wins, you get another rematch against Georgia. Like, there you go. But if there is something to be said, I like the idea of something Josh Pate brought up, which is this concept of having a separate playoff for the group of five, at least in part. And what you could use that for, once again, obviously, we talked about the idea of this promotion relegation system where you have maybe a conference associated and then like one associated underneath, and there could be movement. But let's say you're a group of five team and you have the opportunity to potentially go up via the playoff. To go join the SEC and like an Arkansas or a Mississippi State or somebody who's been struggle bussing is going to have to go down. You know, I said, I don't know how that might work out.
Well, and I know that we're big Premier League fans, and the concept of relegation is great, but the reality is it can never happen. It just
Right.
never can happen. So if you're gonna blow the system up a little bit, you have to have a P4 playoff and you have to have a G5 playoff, and that's all there is to it. Nobody gets to move up, nobody gets to move down. But what you do is you energize a lot of these bowls, the lower bowls, as the G5 playoff bowls, right? So now you got, well, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you have, what, seven? Is that right? One, no. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Five, because you give them a home game like we have, right? So that's five more bowls. So you're talking about like the citrus and you know the just out of the reach kind of bowls, and
Right.
that become the G5 bowls. Now, is that going to tick off a bunch of Power Four teams that are going to end up playing in like a weed eater bowl, or
Maybe.
maybe you take those lower bowls and turn them into like honestly like the Penn Strat Bowl. I mean, I think playing,
Hell, the Sun Bowl.
yeah, the Sun Bowl. I mean, I hate playing in baseball stadiums. I think when the first time it got announced, I thought it was really cool. And now that I watch it, I'm like, barf. I think going to 16 teams solves a whole lot of problems, quite frankly, because then Notre Dame gets in, BYU gets in, and James Madison and Tulane still get in. And I don't have a problem with that field.
Well, and I think 16 is well, personally, honestly, if I had to pick a number, it'd probably be 8 is what I would do. Because yeah, I mean, just at least in my head, I like 8 better. But if you're gonna go to 16, which is just the natural way this thing planned out, because I mean, it's just gonna expand, expand, expand. I'd say you gotta go to 16, or you just go ahead and bite the bullet and make it just like the FCS playoffs and go 24.
I like 16 because it's not too many rounds of football. Yeah, the FCS I think is nuts. Or FBS, whatever it is, Division II.
FCS, yeah.
I just like 16 because you eliminate the byes.
Yeah.
And once you're done with the byes, I think that's enough. And again, you also have to think about, you can't start encroaching on the NFL playoffs. You gotta stay out of that as much as humanly possible. Because all the competing bids, which is another reason why we're playing the early game, is because ABC had their choice and they didn't want the Oregon or the Tulane game.
Right. Well, and I think a lot of that may just come down to us honestly just adjusting our calendar in college football, which does need to happen because that's something that I think is a natural fix long term, is you're going to have to adjust that calendar. Because at
No reason to
least,
make the call.
well, I think the national championship should be on New Year's Day, right? Or around about there.
Yeah.
I think that's where it should be naturally. So if the season's starting in August, the season like earlier in August, then start the season earlier in August. But also we have to start making some adjustments because the fact that you have guys like Lane Kiffin who can leave before a playoff kicks off, and a lot of this movement has to take place because, well, all this window for the transfer portal is going to open. Players going to run off and do this, and that. I think there has to be set times, set dates for all of this stuff.
But I mean, Elko talked about it. There's no way to fix it. So what we have now is what you have to deal with. And any solution you come up with is going to fix one part of it, but it's not going to address another part. So like it might fix, the transfer portal being where it is, so that solution's fixed, but now we're screwing up the academic calendar. And until we decide that these guys are professional athletes, the academic calendar is always going to come into play with it. And that's all there is to it. So there's really no way to move stuff around other than maybe taking out the extra week. But, I'm selfish. I like Army Navy having its own week. I do. But it's just, I mean, I don't know how you fix it, man. There's no way to fix it where you fix everything.
So my buddy Travis Holm, he made a using the 2026 game dates, kind of moving it up. You'd have your week zero game take place like August 15th. Then week one, August 23rd, 30th would be on, would be week two, and then yada, yada, yada. Conference title weekend would take place over November 21st, 22nd. And then you just jump straight into the playoff. You start Thanksgiving weekend. That would be the home site weekend. And then quarterfinal, you would all.
It'll never happen.
I'm aware it will never happen, but it's just, it would make way more sense.
Thanksgiving weekend has been dominated by the NFL. That's
I'm
out there.
aware.
Literally. I mean, that's reason number one, and the only reason they're going to need not to move that schedule like to that time frame. The
Or
reality is we're just stuck with this.
no, I get it.
Because expanding to 16 doesn't change the calendar. That's the one thing. 16 doesn't change the calendar because you just have four teams that instead of byes, they'd be playing. I mean, it's a lot of football, and you'll probably lose your eyes on some, but.
But you're going to continue to see like this movement over the next several seasons as they fine-tune and adjust what this playoff's going to look like. I mean, you've already had 2 years now where we have gotten to the final rankings, and there has been a laundry list of problems, issues, which are always going to happen. It doesn't matter if we expand to 16, it's still going to be a problem because number 17 is going to bitch.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter who the
I don't care.
last team is.
I don't care about the bitching, other than the fact that just making fun of them. Like, I don't care about the bitching. Like, that is what it is. At some point you stop, and 16 maintains the calendar you're on. It allows four more teams in. And then at that point, let's be honest, if you're 17th or 18th, do you really think you have any chance of making a run at this? I mean, do you?
Well, and that's just it, right? I mean, if you take, I mean, think about just how rough some of these other teams have had it by comparison. Look at 2011 Oklahoma State. You lose a Friday night game, and you somehow end up falling to three behind Alabama, who jumps up ahead of you to go compete for a national title against LSU. When in reality, that probably should have been Oklahoma State's year, but you lose a game. And do you think for 1 minute that team was going to be like, well, I guess, well, we didn't make the national championship, so we're just, no, we're not going to play a bowl game, nothing. No, they went and played their BCS bowl and had a time. But that's the problem. That's the biggest problem I have right now is like you have all of these teams that are, they got to make the playoff. And if they don't make the playoff, then they just don't want to compete. They don't want to be involved anymore. And I don't
It's the wrong
know.
answer, and that's where the 1 year ban has to come in, and especially if you get to a point where you're at 16 in, right? Because then some of these bowls that we would consider lower tier will have better competition in them, right? They'll have, in theory, better teams, right? Theory. And these bowls that are just missing out on the playoff bowls, now they get to play. We get to add a couple more in. So for me, it's 16 is the sweet spot. I think it always has been. I don't like the byes. I don't think. I don't plan, like I get the argument that we played in a conference championship, so we deserve a bye. Like I get that, but I don't really care.
Now, let me ask you this. What
You
if
go to
we.
16, I think you get rid of conference championship games.
Well, and I understand, why we delay this week because we have to do Army Navy. But I think with Army Navy being its own week, and you have like 1 week before the playoffs start with everybody else, I think having that 16 built in would be a lot better because you're not having those top fours resting an extra week. Because I have a feeling that may come into play again this year. We'll see.
I do. I mean, they had to play another game, but I mean, that's it's just something's got to give, and I just don't know what it is. But
Right.
I think staying at 12 isn't going to happen for long. Notre Dame has unfortunately has enough pull and pressure that something will happen. And again, like you said, we could expand this thing to 35 and numbers start 36, we'd be pissed. It's
Right.
like the basketball tournament, like the play-in games, and
NCAA tournament, same
you're like the
deal. Yeah.
69th team, and you're hoo-hawing about not making it.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, I mean, and I'm all about playing as much football as we can. Yeah, we can have, I mean, high school football playoffs here in Texas are one of my favorite things to kind of keep up with because it's always fascinating to see how it gets broke down, 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 down to this championship weekend, which will be coming up very soon. But it's just a tough
Well,
slate.
the other way you do it is, like you said, you cut down to eight teams and you stay on the same calendar, and that you have basically at that point removed a week.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, but at that point you're taking away home games, but so it's just there's a million different ways to look at this, and I don't know that there's a fix.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It's like how I choose my recipes. Like I find five recipes for the same thing, and I take out, what I like about this one, then I take out what I like about that one, and I put it together for myself.
Right.
And that's probably the way to approach this. But the problem is, in this case, you have, I mean, this is like you have a whole lobbying part that wants this, a whole lobbying part that wants this one, and a whole lobbying part that wants this scenario, and none of them are going to be willing to give.
Right.
Right. So it's, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know either. Fact is, it's all screwed up. It's all gross. But the playoff is here. And I wasn't sure if we were going to go digging too hard into these matchups this week. I figured we were going to do that next week, which
Yeah,
is
I'll give
fair
you
enough.
another week to look at some teams that I just really haven't watched, like Oregon.
Yeah. And I mean, the playoff does kind of track out very interesting. Of course, I mean, A&M, just looking ahead at our road, I mean, you play Miami, and then you will play Ohio State if you win that game. And then, in all likelihood, you're facing off against Georgia with the for the right to play in the national title game. And that right there is a tough road right there, just those three games.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody's got a tough road except for Oregon and Tulane. But after that first round, everybody's good, man. So it's
Everybody's good.
there's no that's what the playoffs are. And like, there's technically easier roads, but I mean, again, that's me. That would be me admitting that Oregon's a five. It's like I think Oregon beats James Madison, then I think Texas Tech beats the crap out of them.
Well, and I think, regardless, you're going to end up like if we were at seven or if we were at six, you're still going to see either Georgia or Ohio State or both. Well, you would for sure see Georgia if you were in the sixth slot, right? If you end up winning. So it's gonna be interesting, man. I'm excited. I'm excited because it's you're in the conversation, you're in talks. Most people are kind of giving you a middle of the road shot to make it just based on numbers. It's gonna be a week, man. It's gonna be a several big shows.
Give me a week to dig in. Honestly, I haven't watched any Miami football outside of the Notre Dame game. So I've seen highlights and I know they're good.
Yeah, I've seen they're good. I've seen they've had their fair share of weaknesses. I mean, I think the obviously we'll break down that matchup later. I'm not gonna get into all the details on it. There's certain matchup things that I like in this game. There are certain things that I don't necessarily feel as good about. One of which is being, I understand why ESPN has the rights for these things. Why on God's green earth did we get stuck with an 11 o'clock kick?
Just because, I mean, they wanted the better matchups, quite
They
frankly.
did.
That's what it comes down to. They wanted the better matchups, and so, and they're going to put Alabama, their darling, in prime time.
Yep.
And they get basically two of their own because they're both in the SEC. So, and a rematch and la 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 la. So, like, they're obviously going to pick that in prime time. And then I think there's I want to say there's actually NFL football on the
There
20th.
is.
So we're the only time slot that doesn't go up against the NFL.
And that's why they put us at 11.
That's, I'm telling you, again, this goes back to the conversation. Money's going to win every single
Right.
time. Every single time.
And everybody and their dog is writing that is banging that same drum about this whole idea of A&M like kind of got screwed with this slot, but regardless, it doesn't really matter. I mean, everything's in front of you now. You're gonna play a playoff game, it's gonna be at 11 a.m. Oh well, get out there and throw down.
Yeah, just
Get
get up
as
and
loud as
play.
you can. Yeah, this is the biggest game, truly the biggest game in Kyle Field history.
Yeah, and I don't, I'm honestly, I don't just, it's what's weird to me is Aggies complaining about the 11 a.m. in the sense that, like, man, God, I hate early games. Bro, if you can't bring it for the first ever playoff game at Kyle Field, then it wasn't going to happen at 2:30 or 7 either.
Yeah, you don't need to be here
Yeah, I
out
mean,
there supporting.
you could put the ball down at 8 in the morning. We'd have 109,000 rabid fans who just decided not to go to bed the night before, basically.
Right. And that's what we need. That's really what we're gonna need in this game. You have to lean on the fact that you are gonna be at home in front of your people throwing down. And you've beaten this team at home before. If not that terribly long ago either, a couple seasons. So you know how to win. You know how to beat Miami. You know what the expectation is here. So let's just go out there and do it. And
Yeah,
obviously
just
we'll
put
get
the ball
into
down
that.
and play, and the fans, it stands will be packed, man. The get in prices right now are nuts.
Yeah.
So, all right, we got one pick for the week. Let's see, you went 2-3 last week. I went 3-2. So
Yeah.
we are now, you're now at 41-36, and I am at 44-33. So we're both over 500.
Yeah, I'll take it at this point,
But we
especially with
got
how I
plenty.
started.
But we got plenty more picks, you know, with the playoff games. We're
That's
not going to
true.
do a ball pick 'em by any means, but I don't know. Maybe we will.
We
Maybe we
might.
will. Yeah, we'll do that one offline though, because that would take an entire hour to get through all the bowl games.
Yeah.
So Army Navy, it's in Baltimore this year. Navy's a 6-point favorite, understandably so. Navy's very good. They had a chance at winning their conference at one point, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And Army is bowl eligible. That's about all you can say about Army this year. They've slogged along, had some good games, had some bad games. But you know, maybe you know, finish on an uptick, beating UTSA. You know, you're feeling good about yourself. Maybe kind of getting squeezed out of their conference stuff. So, but again, it doesn't matter. None of that matters in the Army Navy game. You know who I'm picking? Obviously, I'm good. I'm picking Army. I don't care if we were 25-point dogs. I'll be picking Army.
Absolutely. Just because I need to catch up some ground, I'm going to pick Navy.
Very well. All right.
That's the only reason I'm going to try to pick up. And no, so naturally, Army's going to win this game. And let me preface. Let me preface. I am pulling for Army. This is my own
You gotta make up some
personal
ground.
pride of I need to improve my standing just slightly. That's all it is. It's not poking at Army. I love Army. I'm
Well, and
pulling.
Navy's the favorite. I mean, that's the smart play. Mine's an emotional pick. Yours isn't, actually. Yours makes more sense.
It does, but it's more. I would do it out of solidarity to support you, but at the same time, I got to think about my own record, man. I got to
Yeah.
improve that.
Totally understand, man. All right, so I think we answered Garrett's question.
More or less, we did answer Garrett's question. There's really not much else as far as questions went. I mean, it was pretty straightforward this way. It was just goofy.
Not much to talk about. Well, there's plenty to talk about, but as far as like questions, because we don't have games coming up this weekend, so it's
Right.
kind of just rehashing what everybody's been rehashing for the past 48 hours, but just kind of our thoughts on it. So.
Yeah, I'm cool. I mean, we made the playoff. Teams that were supposed to be in it are in it. Teams that are maybe potentially not supposed to be in it are in it. People are got and put got opinions on everything. It is what it is.
Done and dusted. It's time to play football now.
Time to play football, and I certainly hope our friends in Austin are feeling the cheesiest this morning. That's all I care about, man. I'm gonna
You know
cool
what?
with it.
I'll give them props though.
Yeah.
Outside of a couple of complete wackos online, they've mostly just kind of accepted the fact, unlike Notre Dame.
Yeah. Oh, no. I will give them that. Yeah. Notre Dame pitching a literal fit about all this, which I understand the gripe. I really do understand the gripe. I mean, you went on an absolute tear at the end of the season to try to prove your standing. But the reality is, you lost the two big games you played.
Yeah.
And if you didn't want to be sitting on the outside, you would have won those games.
Yep.
It's as
I mean, if
simple as
that's
that.
something, I mean, you lost to Miami, and I don't care how long ago it was.
Right. Fact of the matter is that ended up being a couple of important games, and they've made that a point to say. Now, I'd be curious to see what happens as far as scheduling going forward.
We'll
So
get
good
into
stuff.
that next week.
And I'm sure we will. Got no problem with that. But be sure to jump on our socials, guys. As Rob the Slapper on both Instagram and X, Roy May 15 on X, Roy May Jr. on Instagram, as well as the Red Ass Podcast. Be sure to give us a like, give us a subscribe, comment, hit the little bell so you know when we're uploading, getting this thing put out there. We really appreciate you guys catching up with us this week. I understand it was a light week, but not a lot of A&M football to get into. But as a sidebar, volleyball. Cruising along, Sweet 16.
Sweet 16 in Lincoln. They're playing Indiana, right?
Indiana.
Yeah, playing Indiana. So looking forward to that. Not much in the way of holiday hoops because this is generally when they just kind of grind through a simple non-conference, kind of just some paycheck games. Kind of a real heartbreaker with SMU the other night on Wednesday. Like that was it sucked or Sunday night, excuse me. So just kind of crappy way to throw a game away, but you can see it's there for Buckyball. You can see it's
They're
there.
putting it together, and
Yeah, and
they've won some good games. They've lost some games they shouldn't have lost, and
yeah,
this is going to be part of the growing pains going into conference play. And
absolutely. And
that's
then
it.
looks like Joni Taylor's got the ship pointing in the right direction. So,
Which is
looking forward to them over the over the kind of the holiday hoops period of just doing exactly what they're supposed to do against teams they're supposed to do it against. So just get out of the holiday part unscathed and get ready for conference play.
It was a successful run out to Las Vegas, except for the fact my boys are currently stuck in El Paso because they broke a leaf spring on the trailer again. So they are hauling back to towards Texas slowly. Got my fingers crossed that they can make it all back in one piece. But played the show. It was a good show. Carson was a little under the weather. We only were able to sneak in about an hour because his throat was gone completely. He couldn't hit some of the high notes. So we were like, all
Yeah.
right, let's see what we can do. But we fired in for an hour. Everybody appreciated that. Great first experience. Alex's first time out there in Vegas, so she had a great time getting to experience that. But yeah, it was a good weekend for us. If you're in the Fort Worth area, we were having a Christmas party show on Thursday at the Rhinestone Saloon there in the Stockyards. So come party with us up there. If you're local down here, you got nothing else better to do on Friday night. Make the hop, skip, and a jump over to Brenham. We're playing at the Buckin' Burger over there. Should be it's a fairly new venue out there, and seems like there should be a pretty decent crowd coming out for that one. So if you are local to the area and you want to come out and watch us before the end of the year, it's our last show before the turn of the calendar. So be sure to come check us out. We'll be over there at the Buckin' Burger in Brenham. So thank y'all for checking us out today, guys. Really appreciate that so much. So I had a good time.
Yep. Go Army, beat Navy.
Go Army, beat Navy. I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We got the Red Ass Podcast. Thank y'all. Take care. We will see you guys next week as we kick off the playoff. Gig 'em.
Good.